Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, the 18th chapter, verses 15 through 17. This is not the lectionary reading for today, but I chose this text specifically because it was Children's Sabbath Sunday. So I invite you to reflect on the idea of children and ministry as I read this text and as we spend a few moments in a time of reflection. People were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they sternly ordered them not to do it. But Jesus called for them and said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Friends, each week the preschoolers here at Pleasant Grove gather in this room, in this sanctuary, for a time of chapel. And the way it works is they come in from the Welcome Center, they enter into the narthex, and they make their way up the center aisle of the church. And when they get to the front, they start filling in these front pews. And we do this every week. On Wednesdays, I lead chapel. On Thursday, Pastor Carol leads chapel. And it's just an amazing event, week after week after week. And when they first get in here and they're sitting down and some music is playing, it fades out. And I ask a question. I ask the same question every week when the kids come in. And the question is this: what do we do first? So as soon as I say that, you see the hand shoot up in the air, waving and waving. Or you just hear an enthusiastic voice yell out the answer. And usually they say something like this: "We light the candle, we burn the candle," something like that. And that's what we do. We light the Christ candle, first thing. But then there's a follow-up question to this. I always say, yes, we light the candle, but why do we light the candle? And again, at this point, there's no time for hands. Just yelling. A lot of yelling going on. And there are usually two answers that are given at this point. Let me just share them with you. Either it is because God is with us, or it is something along these lines: because God loves us. Or sometimes it's a combination of two: because God's love is with us. You know, friends, it is the highlight of my week just to see, anywhere from, 50 to 75 kids in here going, "God loves us. God loves us. God is with us." It's beautiful. It's beautiful. A few years back, I think about maybe 6, 7, 8 years ago, we did kind of an informal census around here to try to figure out how many folks attend Pleasant Grove United Methodist Church. At that time, we defined attend as anyone who was here on a Sunday morning in any given 6-week period of time. So we tracked you, basically. You didn't know it, but we tracked you. But anyway, back then, if you came to church, you attended church one time in 6 weeks, you were an attendee, you were an active part of this church. Well, back at the beginning of August, we began this process again. We want to do an update. What's going on? How many people attend Pleasant Grove? But we had to kind of redefine attend. Just across the church, attendance patterns have changed. So now, if you're an attendee at Pleasant Grove, you're a part of this community, you attend at least once a quarter. That is the way we define it now. So, drum roll, please. Okay, never mind. Thank you. Back 6 or 8 years ago, whenever we did that before, we identified 600 unique individuals attended Pleasant Grove in a 6-week period of time. Since August 1st of this year, over 700 different individuals have walked through this door and have been at worship with us. And again, what struck me about this study, this informal, very unscientific study, was the fact that not only that we have 100 more individuals coming to church here than we did a few years ago, but over one-third of the people who attend at this church are under the age of 21. One-third. Just let that sit in for a second. I have a lot of ministry colleagues, and we have meetings, and we talk about things, and time after time, they lament the fact that there are no young people in their churches. I mean, I said at the other service, you know, their youth group is for people aged 65 to 75. You know, that's the middle schoolers. And then, you know, anyway, it's not easy. You have one-third of your congregations under the age of 21. So thinking that, hear these words. People were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they sternly ordered them not to do it. But Jesus called for them and said, "Let the little children come to me and do not stop them. For it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And I'd like to expand a little bit here and cite a connected passage that comes from the Gospel of Matthew. "Whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believes in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were fastened around your neck and you were drowned in the depth of the sea." Wow, okay. I'm going to say something now that I want you just to try to take in. I want you just to try to make an attempt to comprehend what I'm about to say. Now, don't overreact. Don't rush the pulpit. Just take this in. Take a deep breath. Are you ready? I want everyone in this room today to remember that at one point in time, you were a child. You were everybody in this room, I would be. Even Bob Starks. Bob, you were a kid. Don't deny it. At some point, I know it comes as news to some of you. "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God." Wow, okay. It's a very special day in the life of this congregation and many congregations because we're celebrating Children's Sabbath Sunday. We set aside the second Sunday of October, second to celebrate it, this year the third Sunday. But we celebrate, we gather together to give thanks to God for children, for our children, but for all children. Especially those who live in desperate situations around this world. And so we've gathered together today to make a statement. The statement is this: children are central to who we are as a community called Pleasant Grove. Children are central to who we are as the body of Christ. And it's not our goal to simply kind of keep kids to the side and just put up with them until the time when they become adults. No, no, no. We want them to know that this is their church right now. You know, this is their world right now. Not just when they grow up, but right now. And I think this is the 28th annual Children's Sabbath Sunday. It was begun by the civil rights worker Marion Wright Edelman, and she envisioned a day for faith communities such as ours to commit themselves to work for the well-being of children around the world. You know, on their website, the Children's Defense Fund states, "The national observance of Children's Sabbath celebration is a way for faith communities to celebrate children as sacred gifts of the divine." That's perfect. That's perfect. That's what we're doing here this morning. That's what we are celebrating, children as sacred gifts of the divine. Last Friday night, Alana and I were coaching Molly's baseball team. Molly plays for the Reds, as does our own Meredith Mann. Well, Molly's been playing in this baseball league for 10 years now, 20 seasons. My, how times have changed across the years. Back then, let me say this. As I looked out across the field on Friday, I said, this is a pretty organized group. You know, I can tell this is a baseball game. 10 years ago, you couldn't tell. You couldn't tell us what the group was doing out there. You know, back then, if you looked out to the outfield, most people were sitting down. You know, they were in circles out there. They weren't in positions. Some kids would just run across the field yelling, waving their hands like this as they ran. You know, some would just mill around in the dugout. You know, well, this past Friday, as someone hit the ball up the middle, our pitcher fielded it and threw it to first base. And I thought, wow, these kids are growing up. Things are changing. And also, as this happened, I started thinking about this text for this morning. These kids were growing up. They were no longer kids all of a sudden on that field. And of course, I'm making this assessment, I'm thinking, what is it about kids that led Jesus to make such profound statements about them? And then it hit me. Maybe it has something to do with the fact that kids tend to be so unfiltered. Okay, and by that I mean that you just get what you get with kids. You know, you get an authenticity, you get a genuineness with kids. You know, if they don't want to do something, good luck. Good luck. They let you know. If they don't want to go someplace with you, they don't make it easy on you. No, no. And if they have a question about something, they're going to what? They're going to ask it. Even though the rest of us would never ask such questions because we know you're not supposed to ask those questions. And if they have an idea, they're going to share it. They're going to share their idea. And if you give kids a vision, you give them a dream, they can see it. They can see it. They can seize it. Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Kingdom people. That's what kids are. They're king. They're little kingdom people. Wow. And that's what Jesus is always talking about, the kingdom of God. Friends, when we welcome children into our community at Pleasant Grove, when we welcome these kingdom people into the heart of our community, we create a spirit of genuineness that permits the presence of the living Christ to thrive among us. In the essence of their spirit, not necessarily their behavior, okay, keep those separate, children are who we all need to be. So by welcoming them, by nurturing them, by teaching them, by loving them, and by listening to them, we learn who we are called to be. Kingdom people. Okay, so what does that look like? What does it look like to welcome a child in Jesus' name? Well, what it means is this. It means to offer them a place where they feel they are valued, where they feel they are safe, where they feel at home. At home enough where they can just yell and run around and run up the aisle and throw bread and throw Hershey kisses. And where they can begin to wrestle with concepts such as grace, which none of us understand. Where they light the Christ candle in chapel and with one voice cry out, God is with me. God loves me just the way I am. In essence, it's about creating an environment where they can encounter the kingdom of God firsthand. And as they encounter the kingdom, our community is reborn. It's an ancient practice. You heard the Old Testament lesson today. And when your children ask you, what do you mean by this observance? You shall say. In the Passover Seder, the community says to its children, this is who we are. This is whose we are. And it is in this community that you will find depth of meaning for your life. One of the earliest Christian writings is called the Didache. It dates back to probably to the end of the first century. It was revered in the early church. It's now part of a collection called the Apostolic Fathers. The Didache begins with these words. There are two ways, one of life and one of death. And there is a great difference between the two ways. The way of life is this. First, you shall love the God who made you. Secondly, your neighbor as yourself. And whatsoever you would not have done to you, do not do to another. Songwriter Graham Nash puts it this way. Teach your children what you believe in. Make a world that we can live in. You know, we spend a lot of time talking about the need to teach our children about things like science and mathematics and all these wonderful things. So they might be successful in life. We hire tutors for them. You know, they take courses so they can do great on SATs. We know we try to help them achieve academic success at all costs. And all that's wonderful. But the question that gnaws at me is this. Are we also teaching our children the things that will enable them to find deep meaning in their lives? Are we welcoming them in a community and then sharing their community with them in such a way that they might find the way of life? You know, those dark nights of the soul that will be coming in their lives, are we preparing them for that? Even if they can, you know, they know pi to 20 places. It is wonderful to be number one. But despite your number in life, There is a substrate of grace on which you live out your life. And this grace is gathered up in these words. You are a child of God. You heard them sing it today. Amazing. Teach your children what you believe in. Make a world that we can live in. Of course, we have Sunday school. You know that, for all ages. We have, you saw the choir, basically, for elementary. We have a chair of choir you saw a couple weeks ago for preschoolers. You know, we're in the early stages of developing a youth music program. We have Quest Group, which is for third, fourth, and fifth graders. They went to the zoo this weekend, spent the night there. Back in August, we celebrated VBS, a bunch of kids running and screaming around here. We have a marvelous preschool led by Kathy Anderson. We have a safe sanctuary policy. You heard Ashley talk about that, to keep our children safe and they're here. And we're constantly reassessing that policy. We have outreach ministries that benefit children directly, Backpack Buddies, Family Promise. We have a long-term partnership with Robinson County Christmas Store, which you'll be hearing about in a couple weeks. We have scouting of all sorts. We have Great Minds tutoring program that's been going on for now near 20 years. And I could go on and on. But in essence, at Pleasant Grove, we're trying to be a church where all children can find their place in the body of Christ. So, as the season of Pentecost draws to a close in the next few weeks, and we move into a new year at church, Advent, we hope to enter into a new season of ministry discernment. 2020, we're hoping, is going to be that season of discernment. And we're calling it right now, preliminarily, the 2020 vision. And maybe this is the perfect time for all of us to begin to think about reclaiming the spirit of a child. You know that spirit. That spirit that's totally unfamiliar with the concept. We can't do it that way, because it's never been done that way. Today, we're celebrating Children's Sabbath. We're celebrating children and ministry with and to children. This ministry is critical for us if we take our discipleship seriously, because based on our text this morning, it really ticks God off if we impede a child from becoming who they are as a child. Thanks be to God for the children of this community and the children around this world. Amen.